Better that right counsels be known to enemies than the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They who can treat secretly of the affairs of a nation have it absolutely under their authority, and as they plot against the enemy in times of war, so do they plot against the citizens in times of peace. And that quote comes from Baruch Spinoza. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. When we appraise the human experience, very often we judge ourselves on the fulfillment of our desires. And very often, if we are not able to fulfill these desires, we appraise ourselves badly. And funnily enough, we also tend to appraise others based on their fulfillment of our own personal desires. And this may seem a strange way of looking at things, but very often if people own possessions that we covet ourselves, we will appraise them as being successful. Although, of course, there are some times when people may look at them jealously because they do covet their possessions, and they may appraise the people badly for having things that they desire that they are not able to obtain for themselves. So really, by appraising the other person in a disdainful way for having what we desire, all we are really doing is appraising ourselves in a negative manner. And this also tends to permeate into other aspects of people's lives, and most especially into the research community, where people will appraise information by its ability to fulfill their desires. They'll look at information that promotes an idea that they accept or a concept that they would like to happen, and so they will appraise the information in a very positive manner because it affirms their current belief system or perhaps leads in a direction where they would like to go. And by doing this, in regard to the former, we lose our objectivity of ourselves, and in regard to the latter, we lose the objectivity towards the information we're researching. And what people need to bear in mind in regard to either of these situations, whether it applies to ourselves or whether it applies to our research, is that what we are ultimately searching for is the truth. And of course, what each of us can only ever find is a truth. And the biggest truth you will ever find in any of your research is yourself, because that is the ultimate truth for each person. And that is the only truth that anyone will ever truly know, because that's all you ever really can know. I mean, that's all I can really speak for, folks, in regard to myself, is I can speak for myself. This here, this shell that I stand in, and the mind that occupies this shell, I can vouch for that 100%. I know what that is, and I can speak about that particular truth with 100% accuracy and 100% confidence that I know more about that truth than anybody else. But it's in understanding that that is what your truth is, and that it is to yourself, ultimately, that all the research is going to lead you. It's in gaining this understanding and this realization that you get to one of the first steps of what may be called enlightenment. Now, I've done so many shows where I've spoken about the nature of energy. I've spoken about the trust agreement that exists between yourself and government, the psychopathic nature of our society, the language of feelings and emotions, or the rampant corporatism that's taking over our globe, and the power that exists within a united community that could be used to address all of these issues. I've tried to present the same information to you in hundreds of different ways, in order to try to crack that shell from a different perspective. I believe that if I bring you the same information 100 different ways, there will be someone out there that will pick it up this time. Someone will get it. The penny will drop in someone's mind if it's just presented to them in the right way. And what all of it leads to, folks, is ultimately yourself. This is where it all leads, because all of the salvation that we're looking for is to be found within ourselves. It comes from self-realization. It comes from knowing who and what you are. Now, this is something that I've been attempting to bring to you now for 4 years, that when you can begin to realize who and what you are, and you begin to understand that that is what your truth is, and you begin to realize that you are absolutely perfect, because no one can be you better than you can. And I've said this to you as well on so many shows before, that you are the most perfect representation of yourself that ever could possibly exist. And what is important is what you do with that. And what you do with it needs to be based in this self-realization of what you are, and that you are an absolutely perfect expression of the Creator. No one can be you any more perfect than you can. And no one can ever have the truth that you hold. And that is why you are perfect. And that is why every single other person that exists in creation is also perfect. And that's what we need to realize, and that's the way we need to approach these people. And when we can begin to see other people as this, when we can begin to see that the people around us are exactly the same as this, only they hold a different truth, they see the world from a different perspective, that's when we can begin to bring about real change. Because that's when the boundaries and the borders will fall down. The walls of division that separate us from each other and create this dysfunctional meme that currently enslaves us and allows the world to continue traveling in the direction that it's going. Now, sure, there are other truths to the world apart from your personal truth. There is the truth of the system. There is the truth of those who control the system, who run the system. Although the system basically runs itself, because you don't really need to have anyone steering the mechanism. It's a self-perpetuating organism that works to make itself more efficient. I've done whole shows where I've talked about that. See, that's what I mean, folks. I've brought all of this information to you on all of these shows for so long now, and really what it all leads to is for you to understand yourself, because that's where the change lies. And people may question me for sticking to the topic that I always seem to cover, because it always seems to be the same topic that I talk about on these shows, folks. That's why I don't do shows every day. I'm quite happy to do them once a week. In fact, I've said so much now, and I've said the same thing in so many ways now, that I'm even thinking about limiting the shows back to perhaps once a month. But the thing is, folks, the reason I bring you the same information virtually all the time is because when you have delved down enough rabbit holes, when you've spent years pointing the finger at others, looking for someone to blame for the predicament we find ourselves in, as if that is magically going to fix it all, you finally begin to come to the realization that the truth lies within, and that the action that needs to be taken is inner action. Only that inner action then needs to be applied to the outer world, and you find the remedy for all of the problems that we're facing, then what's the point in deviating from the solution? Because there is only one solution. And I see little point in focusing on the problems all of the time, when we already know they're all there, and they will continue to be there. And you've got all sorts of people and all sorts of alternative research, radio stations and news stations that are already bringing you all of this information. So what's the point in me just covering all that ground that's already been covered? I mean, sure, folks, I could give you my analysis on everything, but I mean, what do you want me to say? Ultimately, it's all corporate consolidation, the whole lot. Oh, look, Max, they've just done this over in this country. What do you think that is? I think it's corporate consolidation. Oh, look, they've just invaded Libya and now they're moving on to Syria. What do you think's going on there? I think it's corporate consolidation. Oh, look, they've just said that the US is going to put 3,000 troops into Africa. What do you think of that? I think it's corporate consolidation. And thanks to the Kony 2012 video, all the people probably think it's a good idea to put 3,000 troops in there now because they're not looking at the bigger picture. And we all knew that this is what the Kony 2012 video was all about anyway. And so we all know this, folks, and so there's no point really covering all this ground because we know exactly where it's going. The problem is that people want action all the time. They want the suspense and the excitement that comes with finding out all of this stuff. The problem is, and as I've often said also, is that people tend to view research as a spy novel. And they wait for the next installment because they want someone new to point the finger at. They get somewhat excited by the problem. They like to find out all the nice little juicy bits. It's almost like a soap opera on television for them. But really, what I perceive is that the world is in a state of crisis and it needs fixing. And to me, the method that needs to be used to fix it is very, very clear. And I'd like to see it fixed. And it could be fixed, but it needs the participation of the people in order to fix it. The only participation that is really needed is for people to change their perspective and then apply that to the reality in which they live. And I believe that the best way for this to happen is for people to find their truth, people to find who and what they are, and people to start looking at things from an objective manner. I mean, I could do shows where, as I've said, I could put on white robes and talk to you about spiritual ascension all day, or just bring you my perspective on all of the news reports that happen all over the world. But what's the point? It's all out there. You can look at it for yourself and you can find your own truth within these things. But ultimately the truth that you're looking for is yourself. That's what you need to realize first and foremost. And once you begin to see this, once you begin to see who and what you are, and you begin to see that this is what others are as well, then you see the solution. Because the solution is very obvious. And so that's what I've done with these radio shows, folks. I've stuck to the solution because we know what the problems are. The problems are all around us. They're only too obvious. And so what we need to do is to address them in the right manner. And the way to do this, folks, is to know who and what you are. Know that the agreement that exists between you and any government is a trust agreement. Know that the people around you are valid, that they all hold their own truths. And with this type of realization, I believe that our whole society could take a huge step forward. And all of the problems would simply fall away by default. And I appreciate that this may be a kind of a hard concept for people to get their head around at first, but if you can really step back and look at it, really step back and put it on a global scale, and imagine if this type of realization was to reach all the people, and it could reach all the people simply by speaking to the people in the correct manner. And that's why I do what I do. And as I said, that's why I've brought the same information to you in so many ways. One day I'll do a show that people will hear and they will say, wow, I can play this show to my neighbors and this will cause my neighbors to get it. Because that's how we fix things, folks. We make ripples. We create ripples and we change the world little by little, one fragment of consciousness at a time.
Now, in the way that we appraise ourselves and in the way that we appraise other people, something else that we tend to do is we appraise our state of consciousness. We do this by the yardsticks that we've been given to appraise ourselves by. We appraise ourselves by what books we've read, what information we've allowed ourselves to be open to, and we very often use these same yardsticks with which to appraise other people. And the problem here is that we are still looking for that aspect of ourselves which we have failed yet to find, but we're looking for it in a source that's external to ourselves. Obviously, we're still looking for it because we're reading all these books, we're listening to all these talks, and we're looking for this wonderful thing that people have called enlightenment, when really what we need to be focusing on is the perfection that is ourselves. And as I said earlier, why would you conceive yourself or believe yourself to be anything but perfect? Because you are exactly perfect for what you are here to experience. The important thing is understanding that, and thereby coming to understand your own perfection and having true acceptance of yourself for what you are and all that you are. Because, folks, you can never be anything else other than yourself. So, obviously, that's why you're here. You're here to be yourself. So you need to experience that and come to understand what it is to be yourself and to be comfortable in being yourself and understand what yourself has to contribute to the mind of creation, the mind of God, the mind of this reality, because that's what you are. You are a manifestation of one particular frequency of that mind. I've done whole shows about this back in 2009 or 2010, and I also covered this in my film, The Awakening, how you are quite literally one frequency of the mind of God, which in this experience is also the mind of man, in the experience of man anyway. And that's what people need to understand. And the thing is, they'll never truly understand what it is to be conscious, and they'll never understand what their consciousness is until they understand this about themselves. And then when they can begin to look around and see that this is also the state of everybody else in creation, and we are all absolutely equal in this shared experience, and in fact we are all literally of one mind, that's when you begin to really understand what consciousness is, and that's when things begin to change for you. Now, on all of the broadcasts that I've brought to you since the inception of this radio program, what I've tried to bring you is basic and simple truth. Of course, all I can offer you is the basic and simple truths as I understand them from my perspective. But of course, that's because that is all that I can offer you. But what I've tried to bring you is basic, simple truth. And I've attempted to help awaken you to certain things that I believe you may have forgotten about yourself and about reality. That's been my purpose in doing all of these radio broadcasts. And this has also been my purpose in remaining anonymous the way I have. A lot of people have asked me why I choose not to put my face on the video clips and why I've never posted a picture of myself on the internet. And the reason I've done this, and it's something that I've told you before, but I'll tell you again in case you've forgotten. The reason I've done this is because when you hear information from someone, you immediately associate it with that person, and you judge the information by what that person looks like, whether they are good looking or bad looking or short or tall, or whether you find them attractive or not, or how they hold themselves. We form these opinions of people based on their physical appearance. We just have a habit of doing that. And not only that, but we've been trained to do that. We have usually a very superficial understanding of people. We tend to judge them by what they look like, and we're taught that we must groom and preen ourselves all the time in order to look the way we believe we should look as well. And so, whether we want to admit it or not, we do tend to judge people very much by their appearance. But when I talk to you, you are not able to project any physical image onto the information. And therefore, most people tend to project themselves onto the information. And that's what I believe is important for people to do, because it's not about who I am. It's not about what I look like. It's about the words that I'm speaking and the basic truths that I'm offering you. And the other reason that I've never put my face out there is because I need for people to understand these things about themselves, because this is how consciousness will shift. And I need them to understand that all I'm offering them is my basic and simple truth for their consideration. And I'm not doing it for fame or for fortune or for any other reason other than the fact that I wish to improve reality by my presence in it. I believe the conscious mind of man is being granted a huge opportunity to shift to higher realms, if you will, a huge opportunity to come into all that we could be, and I wish to assist in that shift. I can see that much of humankind, much of the mind of man, is out of balance at the moment. There are people that are too focused on the physical and people that are too focused on the spiritual. There are very few people that are seeing things as they really are and are finding the balance between the two. And too many people that are failing to apply their spiritual understandings to the world around them, and thus the cycle is perpetuated. And I truly do believe that we are being given a huge opportunity to deal with this at this moment in history. All we have to do is open our eyes and really take stock of what's going on around us. And the best way to do that, as I've so very often said, is to change our perspective of what reality is, change our perspective of what others are, and stop seeing others as being divided from ourselves, because we are truly of one mind, experiencing itself as different aspects of that mind. And we're never going to be able to fix anything until we can start looking at things that way. We've got to get rid of the pretense. We've got to get rid of the division that people hold for each other. And we've got to stop looking for solutions in places that are external to ourselves. Because the real truth is in knowing ourselves, knowing who and what we are, and knowing how to apply ourselves to creation, knowing where we stand in creation, knowing where we stand in relation to our government, to our creator, to all society, to the people around us, knowing exactly who and what we are, having acceptance for that, and knowing how to exercise the power that we have. Because we are incredibly powerful beings, folks, and once we realize this power that is latent within ourselves, we can change everything. And if you think we're not powerful, folks, well, look at what we've created. I mean, this whole society, this whole mess that we're swimming in right now, we created all of this. But the thing is, we let others create it for us because we were lulled into a state of sleep. But now we're waking up from that sleep. And once we realize the power that we have, we can change everything. And all we need to do to exercise this power is to be ourselves. Realize the system is fiction and step away from it, because it is fiction. We don't have to have a world that functions anything alike the one that we have at the moment. The problem is that we've just been taught that this is the way things are. This is the world that's real. It's all about the economy and don't rock the boat. That's what we've been taught. And this belief has resulted in every single problem that we face. But you can see, when you really look at the broader perspective, you can see that this problem has become manifest because we have forgotten who and what we are. And that's all I've attempted to offer you on the shows. That's why I've just attempted to bring you these basic truths. And that's why so many people have contacted me and said, Max, it's like you're speaking words from my own heart. It's because it's just basic truths, folks. It's just common sense. And that's why I don't want anything. I don't want to sell any information to you. I just want to offer you a basic truth. Because when you understand this basic truth, you can change your reality. And that's how consciousness shifts. When people understand who and what they are, have acceptance for who and what they are, stand in that, and exercise the rights that they all have, exercise the power that they all have. There is no one that has any right of ownership over anybody in this world. The only person who has a right of ownership over you is yourself. Even your creator has given you free will. You may feel that your creator does own you in some way because your creator created you, but because you were created with free will, the perfect frequency of creation that is you has the ability to do and be anything it wants to be. There is no reason why anybody on this earth should be answerable to anybody else for any of their actions, as long as their actions do not interfere with anybody else. And there's no reason why you should judge anybody else for performing any action or doing anything that doesn't interfere with your ability to be yourself to your fullest potential. So there's no reason for you to have animosity and judge other people the way you do. Unless they impinge upon your ability to be you, then what possible complaint could you have with these people? And if they are impinging upon your ability to be yourself, then what we probably have is some energy harvesting going on. And if you simply come to the realization that no one has a right of ownership over you and you refuse to comply with the demands of another, then that will once again free you from that energetic connection. Just that simple realization. Of course, there are exceptions to this rule when people may be in prison or some other type of external circumstance, but as a general rule in society, this is the way it goes. And of course, there are other circumstances as well, and we might touch on this a little bit after the break. But it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for spending this time with me today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes.
And welcome back, folks. Now, as I've often said, what we're seeing rising in the world today is ultimately corporatism. That's what's happening to the human race. But really, what it is corporate authoritarianism, because we are most certainly seeing a rise in authoritarianism as related to corporatism. I mean, this is basically what our police have turned into these days, folks. They're basically hired thugs for corporations who spend most of their time enforcing non-existent contracts against people who are attempting to stand up to corporate corruption. That's basically what we see from our police these days. I mean, this is very amply demonstrated in practices such as coal seam gas mining. What we've seen in Western Australia is literally hundreds of police on site in order to escort gas companies. This is before anybody's blocked anybody off. There hasn't been any roadblocks. There's just people there at a campsite with protest signs. No road blockages or anything have happened. And the police are there to make sure the way is clear. So it would appear that the police are being subcontracted by corporations to act as their security. And folks, this goes way beyond apprehending criminals. It goes way beyond preventing crime. It goes way beyond enforcing law. What these police are being used to do is to act as security guards for corrupt corporations that are destroying the water table. That seems to be their job these days. The job of the police is to maintain the corporate hold over the globe and to make sure that everybody keeps in line. And okay, so you're all in line and you're all quite happy. Well, if you're all in line and you're quite happy, then we can't control you. So we're going to increase the measures a little bit. We're going to make the laws a little bit more draconian, and we're going to keep pushing and keep pushing until every one of you has broken a law so that we can at last have you all uniform in the eyes of the law. And this is what they're intending to do all over the world, folks. And we've certainly seen this a lot in Byron Bay here, the town where I live in Australia. I mean, even though we're not seeing people standing up against corporate corruption in this town, because we've kept most of the major corporations out of this town, like we don't have a McDonald's, we don't have fluoride in the water here, we don't have a lot of things that the government would like us to have. And so what we've seen in order to replace that is just a huge escalation in police presence in town. And it's like I said on earlier shows about the concept of total criminalization. The government cannot control innocent people. The government can only clamp down on criminals. So what they do is they ramp up police presence and they make the police as oppressive to the people as possible, which makes it possible for anybody to break the law at any time simply by standing up to a police officer who is oppressing you, because this would be resisting arrest or you know, assaulting a police officer or whatever you do. I mean, it's, these guys are virtually untouchable because they believe that they can come along and oppress you and create as much controversy as they like. And because you don't know your rights, they can get away with it. And they do get away with it. And so that's what they're doing in Byron Bay here. They're simply increasing the police presence. We have police riding around on bicycles in pairs now. We have breath tests and roadside checks. We have police wandering around town in packs of three. Now, these are like gangs of armed thugs walking around in fancy dress. And so that's what's going on here in Byron Bay. And they're doing this because this is such an awake community. This is a such an aware community, and we've been able to hold off government repression and corporate corruption quite effectively so far. But now we have a new police chief who believes that the Byron people get it a little bit too easy, and so he's attempting to change things. And this is, of course, all part of the government agenda, folks. They don't like people to be free. And I'll just fill you in a little bit on what's actually been happening around here, and you can have a look in your own town and you can tell me whether you're seeing similar things happen in your town. And I'm sure that if you are not seeing them already, then you will most certainly see them at some time in the future, folks, because they're really ramping things up and they're conducting this type of activity all over the planet. Now, what they're doing here at the moment is they are putting up a set of surveillance cameras, or working towards putting up a set of surveillance cameras in town. And of course, the police are saying they need these surveillance cameras because of the incredible amount of violence that happens in the town that I live, and because all of the people within the town are living in fear of the amount of crime that happens at night. When in reality, nothing could be further from the truth. There's hardly any violence in this town. The violence that is in the town is usually alcohol-related, or very often, I believe, it is staged, as some violence that happened here a couple of weeks ago. Coincidentally, the very night that a Channel 10 news team was in town, all the way here from Sydney, just happened to be in town, and happened to be wandering around the streets with their news cameras at 1 o'clock in the morning. And there just happened to be a whole lot of street violence committed by a group of young men that no one had ever seen before, that obviously came in from out of town just coincidentally on the very night the Channel 10 news crew was here with their cameras, and a couple of days after the council had told the police in no uncertain terms that they did not want cameras to be put in the town. And of course, just 2 days before we saw the violence in town, there was also a group of police officers walking around town, just pointing at places where they wanted to have the cameras and discussing it amongst themselves. So that's kind of how it all went down, folks. We'd like to put cameras in. No, you can't put cameras in. Okay, well, here's where we'd like to put them. And oh, look, there's a whole bunch of street violence on the very night that the news crew's here to film it. Just a big coincidence, of course. So now we can put it on national news to get national attention on the issue that we really want to put cameras here. So see, we really do need some cameras, and so we're going to put them in anyway. And folks, if what we saw here wasn't a case of Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, then I really don't know what was, because it was absolutely obvious that that's what just occurred. And that's here in Byron Bay, folks. This isn't exactly a big town, and we do not have all of the violence that the police claim we have. But we've had a new police chief installed who's come up here from Sydney, and so we've seen a huge escalation in police presence in the town. I think these people believe that if they could get Byron Bay, then they can get anywhere, because it is in this whole Byron district that we see some of the most awake people in Australia. So I think it's a real prize for them, and that's why I believe they are going for it first, because it is absolutely the jewel of the crown. And they probably figure, well, if they can get all of this draconian stuff in place here in Byron Bay, then they can get it done anywhere. Now, the reason I just brought all of that to you is because I want you to see what's going on around you. I mean, this is what's happening in a small town on the east coast of Australia, where nothing much really happens. It's a bit of a tourist mecca. It's kind of cosmopolitan. We have backpackers from all over the world coming through. And so, of course, the council has allowed the opening of two or three nightclubs in town, and they've turned the place into a little bit of a party haven for backpackers, where young travellers can come and hang out with other young travellers and do the things that young travellers do. And of course, what these young travellers are encouraged to do by our society is to party as hard as they can all the way around the world, because kids are taught that that's what life's about. It's just a big party. So go waste yourself. Don't look at what's going on around you. And this creates this non-stop group of partying travellers that go around the world. And so this, of course, increases the amount of street crime and violence. And so this, of course, increases the amount of security and draconian measures needed by government in order to control the escalation in crime that they've created themselves. And as I said, folks, this is what is going on in a small town on the east coast of Australia. And this is happening because although this is a very awake area, it's very awake in as far as spiritual concepts and concepts of consciousness, but a lot of the people here are very locked into that right-brained reality. They're not in a balance of right and left brain. They're not in a balance of spirituality and physicality. And all of these things are going on around the people, right under their noses, while they are locked in a bubble of love and light, saying, it's not my reality. So they're failing to apply their consciousness to the world around them. They're ignoring what's going on around them, and they're allowing this police state to be built around them in the belief that they will be saved by an external source, when really the true answers they are looking for lie within themselves. And very often when people find these answers within themselves, they fail then to apply those understandings to the world around them. If you can truly begin to understand the oneness within which human consciousness actually exists, the oneness that is the collective mind of man, if you can perceive all others as holding their own truth because of their unique perspective of reality, if you can see each one of these people as being as valid as yourself, but no more or no less valid than yourself, which means that you are no more or no less valid than anybody else, this understanding itself can free you very much from the system, because suddenly you can perceive that the system is indeed fiction. And if you stand in your flesh, if you understand that what exists between yourself and the system are either contractual obligations, consensual contractual obligations that you've consented to, or are in fact simple trust agreements, then you can begin to see how free you actually are if you choose to exercise your freedom, choose to exercise your rights. And you begin to see how easy it would be to change the direction the world is going. You see, it all comes down to changing your perspective of what your relationship to reality is. And I believe, and I've very often said that I believe the real remedy lies in changing the vibration within your heart. And I know this may sound airy-fairy, hippy-trippy to people, but it isn't. Because once you can just meditate on some of the things I've said in the show today, just really let it sink in how reality works and what your relationship to it is, then open your eyes and look around and you see the world through new eyes. You really do. You see your relationship to the world in a completely different manner. And that's where true freedom is. And when you know the truth really, truly shall set you free. Because the truth of the things that I've brought you on the show today is pure and self-evident. That's the thing, folks. A self-evident truth is exactly that, self-evident. The truth of the things that I've brought you on the show today, if people had the understanding of these simple truths, then the understanding of these simple truths could completely circumvent the events that I've just described to you happening in the town with which I live. If people thought this way, if people understood reality in this way, these events simply couldn't transpire. The authorities simply wouldn't get away with these things. The system itself would cease to function in its present form. If people simply understood the basic and simple truth about how reality works, what their relationship to reality is, what their relationship to government is, and what the system itself is. So yes, folks, I know that I've brought you a lot of repetitive information over the last 4 years in the message that I've attempted to convey to you through the medium of these radio shows. But as I said earlier, once people can gain a certain understanding of how reality works and how the system works, then the system falls away. And it would appear that the crows outside also agree with that evaluation. I mean, sure, there are bad people and there are bad families, there are bad sections of consciousness, psychopathic sections of consciousness that exist at the very top of the system that have put things in place and control things and continue to inflict their personalities upon the rest of the world. But the strength still lies in the base of the structure that they've created. It doesn't lie in the capstone, it lies in the base. And so what's needed is for people to realize that they hold the system up by their compliance with the system. And what compliance with the system basically entails is for you to remain in a state of fear and to remain divided from your community, when really if you put yourself in a state of love and empathy and respect for others and unite with your community and unite with those around you, the system fails. It's that simple, folks. If people had a united community, they wouldn't be able to be putting cameras in my town. If people respected each other, if people weren't forced to pay to be alive and to collect paper at the expense of others, then they would treat the people around them with respect. They would give to their neighbours. We would have a giving, thriving society, and human culture and the human mind and the overall mind of man could reach incredible heights and achieve absolutely amazing things. But we're trained not to think this way. We're kept on a treadmill of debt, which is kept in place through this system of fear-based mind control and division that's inflicted upon the mind of man, and through a great many other mechanisms of control that are inflicted upon us: the fluoridation of the water, the GM foods, the electromagnetic soup that we're forced to swim around in, all of this stuff. And it all serves to keep us distracted from the realities and the simple truths that I've attempted to share with you on the show today. When looking at it, and when looking at how enslaved the mind of man currently is to this false reality and to this fictional system, the task can appear very daunting to the individual out there who wishes to bring about some positive change and who wishes to share this type of information with people, because people are way too busy on the treadmill, running and running and collecting stuff and ultimately only ever succeeding in getting further and further away from themselves in the entire process. And many of them simply don't have time to pay attention to what's going on. And so that's why ultimately you need to lead by example, as I've very often said. There are many people who will not make the grade. There are many people who will be left behind in the conscious evolution that is occurring. There are many people who are quite happy with their slavery and don't wish to look outside of the box. And that's okay. You simply have to move on from such people and love them for what they are anyway, because they know not what they do. And perhaps that is their reason for being here. But what you have to follow and what you have to pay attention to is what your basic needs are. Because once you have this type of information, you realize that what life is about is fulfilling your basic needs. And the most basic of all of those needs is to find yourself, to find out who and what you are, and how to stand in that power, and how to use that power for the greater good. How to use that power to influence reality around you and to improve reality by your presence in it. This doesn't mean standing up and being vocal and fighting against the system, marching down the street with a banner, shouting death to the king. What it means is changing your physical vibration to one that operates in harmony with reality around you, one that operates in harmony with the people that you meet, one that operates in harmony with creation, because that's how you improve creation, that's how you improve reality, and that's how you improve the world for other people. And that's all I've attempted to offer you on these shows, is that perspective. Because I think life is beautiful, I think life is wonderful, and I feel absolute empathy for the suffering I see in the world, and I wish that suffering to cease. I'd like to see everybody fulfilling their ultimate potential of who and what they are, and seeing life for the wondrous, marvelous experience that it actually is. It's a rare gift, folks. It really is a rare gift to have something as miraculous as the human body with which to operate in, and to be living in a reality where you have the trees and the birds and the beautiful sky and the ocean and all of the abundance of life that exists around us. Sometimes I go outside and I just look at a single leaf on a tree, and to me, it's a source of fascination and a source of wonder. We have all of this right at our fingertips, and we have so much potential contained within ourselves, within this wonderful body that we've been granted to experience this reality with. And yet we're not paying attention to what we have. We're caught in a matrix of false reality, a set of rules that have been written down to control us, to prevent us from being who and what we are, to keep us divided from the people around us, but more importantly, to keep us divided from ourselves. And I believe it's time we paid attention. And that's all I've been offering you ever since I started these shows. You can take the message any way you will. Maybe I do repeat myself too much, but I'm just trying to scream, wake up, in as many different ways as possible. Because I love you all and I want you to wake up. I want this consciousness to wake up. Because that's the way reality is improved. So it doesn't matter who I am, folks. It doesn't matter who anybody is. What matters is the message, and what matters is what you choose to do with the information. And as I said, folks, that's why I haven't put my face out there. That's why I don't sell any information to people. I'm not interested in the money. I mean, sure, I need money to survive, because we all need money to survive. But all the money I get, I just put into distributing information to other people anyway, because I just feel the need to do so. I feel the need to bring the message to you that I bring to you, because I believe that we are being given an opportunity to put this message into action. We've been given an opportunity to shift this consciousness. And if we don't seize this opportunity, it's just going to get further and further boxed in, and it will eventually be discarded. Because that's what this system does. The system that we feed, this imaginary meme that enslaves us, its whole purpose is to discard human consciousness, discard humanity, and make itself more efficient. The new life form, if a new life form was to appear on this planet, it would be a life form based in the consciousness of the corporate system that we are allowing to be created, if things are allowed to flow in the current direction that they're flowing. And I believe human consciousness has so much more potential than that. We have the ability to turn this world into everything that it should be. We just have to realize that it starts with the individual, and we have to act, we have to operate on that individual level, and we have to project that into the world around us, and that's how the world will change. And that's why I do what I do, folks, and that's why I continue to do these shows, and that's why I continue to bring you the same old message in as many different ways as I can, in the hope that each show may touch a new heart. And who knows, folks, maybe I will drop the shows back to once a month soon, because, as I said, there's no point in me just bringing you news events and current affairs and things like that, because these events are already being brought to you all around the place anyway, and as I said, all you're really seeing with all of them is corporate consolidation. That's what the whole thing's about. It's about building the global corporation, and that's where all of these events lead to. Bar none, they all point to a common ground, folks. That's where they're all going, and it's about building the global corporation. And we have an opportunity to deal with that. We have an opportunity to build a global mankind and a global human unity that is not a global corporation. We can still keep our nationalistic traditions and do the things that we do as separate peoples on the planet, but we can do it with respect for each other. And everywhere that I've ever gone, and every person that I've ever met from any nationality, anywhere around the earth, all of these people have been kind-hearted and good, decent, respectful people anyway. So the problem obviously isn't the people, it isn't their respect for their culture and their nation, the problem is government. And this is true for the entire planet, folks, and this is the basis of all of the problems that we face as a species. They all come from government, the whole lot. All the corporate corruption that we're facing, all this has been instigated by government, and the reason it's happened is because people have forgotten that government is the servant of the people, and it is we, the people, who hold all the power. The reason they get away with it is because we have simply forgotten who and what we are. And so that's what I've attempted to bring to you today. And I've done this because, well, to me, the solution seems so very simple. The solution lies in you. The solution lies in you changing your heart space. The solution lies in people finally realizing who and what they are and simply applying it to the world around them. And we have the opportunity to do this now, folks, because never before in human history have we been possessed with the knowledge that we have now. Never before has the system been laid so bare. Never before have we had the means of conveying the message to such a vast amount of people. We've got the internet. The internet is the most wonderful tool of communication we could ever have envisioned, because by use of the internet and by means of supporting each other and respecting each other, we can finally convey this message to vast amounts of people. So let's do what we can, and let's improve reality by our presence in it. We can do this individually, and we can start right now. But I think that's it for me, folks. I know I've probably gone off on a few kind of bizarre tangents today, but, well, that's just the way it goes. And thank you very much for giving the message the attention that you've given me over the years. Thank you very much to anybody who has supported the Crow House. Your help is very much needed and very much appreciated. But I will leave it here for now, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In La Keshe.